4, verse number 23. And we're only going to read one verse, but we will cover several. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23. And everybody that is there, give me a hearty amen.
Amen.
All right. Verse 23, let's read that together. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know, the Bible has much to say about the heart, and we'll get into some facts about that in here in just a bit. But today, on Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about the subject of a recipe for a sweetheart for God. The recipe for the sweetheart for God. Now, you know, in certain things, you can have recipes, and you can vary it and make it in several different ways. But there are some particular things about our hearts that has to be in place for a sweetheart for God. Amen. One thing we want to make sure is to have that sweetheart for God and make sure that we understand how to have it. There is a recipe for it. Amen. And we're going to look at some of that today. And I do trust it'll be a blessing, it'll be an encouragement to your heart today as we consider the subject a recipe for a sweetheart. Father, thank you again for the Bible, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of God. Lord, thank you that we can have the peace of God in your midst. And Lord, I pray that as we consider the subject matter for today, that you might speak to us in a special way today, Lord, giving us this recipe for a sweetheart, Lord. And many of us have the recipe already, Lord. We may just need to bring the instruction back out again. And mix it all back up again and have that sweetheart, Lord. So many times we can have a grumpy heart or a discontented heart, Lord, or a worried heart. Lord, many other different types of hearts that we can have. But I do pray that today, on this Valentine's Day, we might have a sweetheart for God. Lord, that you would look down and smile upon the heart that we have for you. And Lord, that your glory would be shown through it. Lord, today then, there may be some that aren't born again today. They don't know what a sweetheart really is. And I pray that the truth of the Word of God will spell itself out and they would understand that, Lord, our hearts are not sweet when we first come out of the womb and it's tainted by sin. We need to get our sins forgiven. So, Lord, I pray that there is one today without the assurance of heaven. They're not sure that heaven would be their home, Lord, that you would make that crystal clear to them. They might receive Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. And, Lord, those of us that know how to have this sweetheart, this recipe, Lord, we may just need to bring it back out and revisit it once again. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now in the service today. Bless in the children's program as well, that your word would go out, that it would change hearts, change lives, and change minds for the glory of God. And we would leave here truly different than when we came in. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Minister to us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And Mrs. Dawson has our special this morning.
To some is just an emblem of formality. It's a symbol that's been used so frequently. Many blaspheme and despise, though it's ancient it abides. A shrine to death that stands for we me. It stood for suffering, yet it brought us peace. It bridged the gap for men, offered cleansing for our sin. An icon that reminds us that we're free. There was a cross made for the Son of God.
Amen. I'm glad that Jesus chose the cross. Amen. What a blessing it is to know that. Amen. That is a tremendous, tremendous testimony and tremendous song. Thank you, Ms. Dawson. Appreciate that. Amen. Well, recipe for a sweetheart. Recipe for a sweetheart. The word heart and its references appear 960 times. In the Bible, and it would take days to discuss them all, and so we're only going to consider a few of them today. But let me start off by telling you this story. Little Johnny came home from school excited about surprising his sweetheart for Valentine's Day. He wanted to make some yummy, sweet cookies. He rushed into the kitchen, he got all the ingredients he saw his mom use, and set out to make the yummiest cookies ever for his sweetheart. He used the same things he remembered his mother using, down to a dash here and a pinch there, a cup here and a spoonful there. All completed, Johnny was quite pleased with himself and knew his sweetheart would enjoy the cookies. And so would he, because he added extra sugar. On Valentine's Day, Johnny presented the cookies to his sweetheart, his mom. After one bite, Mom knew something was tastefully wrong with Johnny's recipe. Come to find out, Johnny had no recipe. He just went from memory he had of Mom making cookies. Johnny would soon learn this was a recipe for disaster. Warren Wiersbe says this: if we expect God to be concerned about the details of our lives, we must pay attention to the details of His instructions. Read that again. If we expect God to be concerned about the details of our lives, we must pay attention to the details of His instructions. I think little Johnny had a problem with the instructions that he should have followed. And as a result of the problems that little Johnny had, the cookies were tastefully not what he thought they should be. Similarly, it will be a recipe for disaster for you and I if we don't follow God's word for a sweet heart. By the way, God made our hearts, and so God can keep our hearts sweet if we follow the instructions. Give you a brief overview of heart. And by the way, this is all coming from the Noah Webster Dictionary of 1828. Some of you may have that dictionary. It's amazing how much reference it gives to the Bible in that actual dictionary. It says this about the heart. It's a muscular viscous, which is the primary organ of the blood's motion in a body, situated in the thorax. From this organ, all the arteries arise, and in it, all the veins terminate. By its alternate dilation and contraction, the blood is received from the veins and returned through the arteries, by which means the circulation is carried on and life is preserved. It says it's also the inner part of anything, the middle part or interior, as in the heart of a country or the heart of a town or the heart of a tree. It says it's also the chief part, the vital or the vigorous or efficacious part. Goes on to say this about the heart. It's the seat of emotions, the seat of affections and passions, as of love, joy, grief, enmity, courage, pleasure. It says the heart is deceitful above all things. Every imagination of the thoughts of the heart is evil continually. We read of an honest and a good heart. We also read of an evil heart of unbelief. We read of a willing heart, a heavy heart, a sorrow of heart, a hard heart, a proud heart, a pure heart. It also says the heart faints in adversity or under discouragement. It also says the heart is deceived, enlarged, reproved, lifted up, fixed, established, or moved. This is all from the Noah Webster Dictionary. The fifth definition it gives, it says the heart is used for an affection or passion, and particularly for love. The king's heart was towards Absalom, as we see in Samuel. It says it's the seat of understanding. As we see, we read a man that is wise in heart or slow in heart. The seat of the will is also intended, which is the secret purposes or intentions or designs. And it says there are many devices in a man's heart. The heart of kings is unsearchable. The Lord tries and searches the heart. David had in his heart to build a house of rest for the ark. Sometimes heart is used for the will or determined purpose. The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It's also the secret thoughts, recesses of the mind. As in Michael saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. It goes on to say it's to the utmost degree in some instances, which means it's to get or to learn by heart, to commit to memory or to learn so perfectly as to be able to repeat without a copy, to take something to heart. Means to be much affected by it, to be zealous, to set my heart on something, is to have my fixed desires on something. And it goes on to say several other things about our heart. So there's many, many definitions about our heart. And when it comes to the Bible, the heart is that part of us, that's the thinking part, the emotional part of us, the willing part of us. And if you remember the movie that we saw several months back called The Board, and it was made up of the conscience and the will and the emotions and the mind and the heart and the memory. They were all combined in that heart. So as we look at this area of the recipe for a sweet heart, there's some things that we want to consider today, because we want to make sure that we do have a recipe for a sweet heart. One of the first things that I find, if we're going to have this recipe for a sweet heart, is we're going to have to stop rationalizing about our hearts to God. You know, you and I can rationalize very, very good. To you and I, our hearts look pretty good, especially when we compare it to somebody else's heart. Amen. By the way, do you know you can't see someone's heart? But you can see the intents of their heart by what they do. And even sometimes you can't even see the intents of their heart by what they do, because they can still be deceptive in what they do. So we've got to stop rationalizing about our hearts to God. And that's going to be the first ingredient. We need an outside source to test our hearts. Like little Johnny's cookies, mom could tell that something went tastefully wrong. And similarly, we need to have God's word as our recipe book for a sweet heart. Say, preacher, why? Our hearts can seem pretty good to us, but the Bible gives an accurate taste test of our heart's sweetness. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? An accurate assessment of the sweetness of our hearts. When he says, love thy neighbor. When he says you ought to forgive, when he says thou shalt not covet, when he says you should not commit adultery, when he says if a man looketh upon a woman in his heart, he's committed adultery already. When it says that we should not bear false witness or lie, then automatically as we read the word of God, our heart's exposed. And we can rationalize that and say, well, you know, I'm mean to them because they were mean to me. But then the Bible comes back and says, render not evil for evil. And so I'm still exposed. And so I've got to stop rationalizing about my heart. My heart is not as good as I think it is. By the way, if you were to look at your own heart, you think it looks pretty good. Why? Because you measure it against somebody else's heart. And that's always the case. We don't recognize our own heart's weakness until our deeds are done. Then we discover we don't have such a sweetheart after all. The man that commits adultery, he thinks, oh, my heart's pretty good, but then he commits adultery and then he's found out. Of the young boy that tells the lie, doesn't feel anything remorseful until the deed is done. And then he says, my heart's not as good as I thought it was. The woman that goes out and commits a lewdful act of shamefulness. And it's not until after the deed. And my heart's not as good as I thought it was. And so since the heart is the seat of emotions that governs our intentions along with the mind, emotions and the will, we cannot underestimate our heart's power. The Bible says here, keep thy heart or protect thy heart or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Say, preacher, what is it about my heart that I need to notice? If I'm looking at, I've got to stop rationalizing to God. I've got to understand, I've got to stop rationalizing about my heart's darkness. By the way, your heart is not clean without being cleansed by the word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. I've got to stop rationalizing about the darkness of my heart. Romans 1:21 says it this way. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Notice this. And their foolish heart was darkened. So I've got to agree with God that my heart's foolish and it's darkened. Now, if you're like me, you don't want to readily admit that. But then God has to come back and tell you that it is true. It is true. Our hearts are darkened by sin, and that's why we do what we do. Because of the darkness in our hearts, they have become deceitful. By the way, when you look at what the Bible says, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not called sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. A dog barks because he's a dog. A cow moves because he's a cow. A duck quacks because he's a duck. A sinner sins because he's a sinner. That's what we do. And our hearts are darkened. And so the first thing in this recipe is stop rationalizing about our hearts before God, about its darkness, but then also about its deceitfulness. You know, you can actually believe a lie that you tell. I remember years ago, I think I told you all this story. My cousin was in a car, and I was in the same car, and being chased by the police. And he didn't have any license. I didn't have any license. And we had a dog with us. And the police were chasing us down these roads, and we were going all this way, and it was a hairy scene, and finally we ditched the car, we jumped out, and we ran. And that's what happened. But when I kind of revisioned the story, I revisioned it a little different. It was more like Starsky and Hutch. You know, we were about to get away, and it was nothing like that at all. And I actually deceived myself into believing that that's how it actually happened. Then I read the newspaper the next day. It was nothing like it happened. And I said, who are these guys in this car? What wicked souls they are. What happened? My heart was deceived. I lied about that whole thing to myself. How I thought it was daring and it was devastating. It was all these things. And it was dumb. That's what it was. It was dumb. I could have been killed. He had no license. I had no license. We were 15 years old. But guess what? My heart was deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9 says it this way, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Verse number 10 in chapter 17 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We've got to stop rationalizing about our heart's darkness and our heart's deceitfulness. That's the first step in this recipe. Your heart and my heart is not what we think it is. But God shows us in the Word of God what it really is. Little Johnny tasted the cookies he made for his sweetheart, and to his surprise, they were extremely salty. He could not understand how this could be. He went out of his way to make sure they were sweet for his sweetheart, his mom, by putting extra sugar in them. He didn't even use any salt. To Johnny's surprise, Johnny had used salt instead of sugar by accident. The salt deceived Johnny as sugar. In much the same way, our hearts can deceive us too. Why? It looks like the same thing. We think we have a clean heart, not until it's compared to the Word of God that we know that it's not clean. Yes, sugar tastes or looks like salt until you taste it. And if Johnny had tasted the salt, he would have known that that's salt and it's not sugar. And I need to use sugar, but he didn't. Many people are deceived like Johnny, being confused with the salt and the sugar. When it comes to having a sweetheart, many confuse religion with righteousness. Just like Johnny confused sugar and salt, people confuse righteousness with religion. You say, preacher, why? There's a big difference. Our hearts can be deceived between religion and righteousness because they both look alike. Say, preacher, how do they both look alike? They both read the Bible. They both go to church. They both sing. They both pray. They both worship. They both preach. They both serve. They both give. They both look good on the outside. Notice I said on the outside. Johnny's cookies look good on the outside. It wasn't until they were tasted did the truth come out. They both say the right things. They often do the right things, but the heart is wrong. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew number 7. A very, very good picture of religion versus righteousness. Chapter 7, Jesus is saying that you need to enter into the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. He says many. There be which go in thereat, but pick it up down in verse number 21. Notice what he says here. Verse 20 says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. By the taste, Johnny knew that he used the wrong thing. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth what? The will of my Father which is in heaven. Now I can do a whole lot of good works. But guess what? Good works aren't what gets me to heaven. I can sing, I can pray, I can preach, I can play the piano, I play the guitar, I can play the drums, I can play the flute, the oboe, the tuba. I can usher, I can work in a nursery, I can teach. But if my heart's not right, guess what? I've got religion, not righteousness. Notice what he says. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's preaching, telling forth. And in thy name have cast out devils. I've even got some exorcism going on. And notice this, in thy name, in whose name? Thy name, God's name, done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I knew you sometime. I used to know you. I knew you at one time, but then, you know, you walked away from me. No. He says, I never knew you. What is that? That's religion. And because of the darkness of our hearts and the deceitfulness of our hearts, many people fall into this category of thinking they are saved, thinking they are born again, thinking they got Jesus, and they have not got Jesus. Amen. Hey, just like Johnny was deceived, he looked at the container. It looked like sugar. It had every resemblance of sugar on the outside, and so he used it, and guess what? It wasn't until after the fact that he found that it was wrong. Not until after the fact these people figure out that they've got the wrong thing. They've got religion, not righteousness. Wasn't until after the cookie was done that Johnny said, you know what, I made a mistake, I used the wrong thing. But guess what? Then it's too late. Then it's too late. He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wow. That's just like Johnny's cookies. Righteousness only comes from repenting of sins and receiving and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I've got to see that my heart is dark, it is deceitful, and I need to repent, change my direction, turn to God, change my mind about Him, believe in my mind and in my heart, receive Him for the forgiveness of sin because of His death, His burial, and His resurrection for me. And only then, my friend, will you transfer out of religion into righteousness. Any other way is religion. Religion comes by works. Don't let your heart deceive you. So we need to stop rationalizing about our hearts and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The second ingredient here is this. We've got to start personalizing about our hearts to God. You and I must get to the place where we read God's word and personalize it and apply it to our own hearts. This is how some people read the Bible. Boy, Sally sure needs that. Yeah, she's so wicked. She's just like that. Frank sure needs this. He's so hard-headed and stubborn and stiff-necked. He needs that. Lies. Lie not. Boy, yeah. Boy, I tell you. Franklin needs that. Yeah. God didn't write this for somebody else. You know who he wrote it for? You and me. And so when I read the word of God, I got to start personalizing it. And I've got to personalize what God says to me. Amen. We've got to see that it's our own hearts that needs to help. Amen. If God was trying to get somebody else's heart right, he would have wrote it down for you and say, you know what? I'm trying to get somebody else's heart right. This doesn't apply to you at all. But he uses words like ye and you and yours. Stop personalizing about our hearts to God. You and I must get to the place where we read God's word and personalize and apply it to our own hearts. You know what we need to say when it talks about the power of the darkness of our hearts? Lord, my heart's dark. When you get the word of God, you got to say, Lord, you know what? My heart is dark. I see what you're saying here. I've got a foolish heart and it is darkened. That verse says they became vain in their imaginations. How many of y'all always have pure thoughts all the time? Oh, I mean, just always pure thoughts. No, nobody? No. You're kidding me, right? Preacher preached about that yesterday to the young people. What sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just, pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy? He said, think on those things. Why? Because left for ourselves, we can have some vain imaginations. He says, they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was dark. And I've got to say, Lord, my heart is dark. When I read the word of God, Lord, what you say is true. I don't have sugar. I got salt. And that's not a good thing. My heart is darkened. Personalizing. But then you got to do something else about that as well. Agree with God that your heart's deceitful. When he says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, you know whose heart he's talking about? Yours. You know whose heart he's talking about? Mine. Mankind's. And so in this scenario of saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to stop, rationalizing about my sin. I know there's a power of darkness in my heart. There's some deceitfulness in my heart. But Lord, I'm going to start personalizing. My heart is dark. It is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Think about this. Some of the most wicked atrocities have been developed in the minds of men. Adolf Hitler had a mind. Idi Amin had a mind. Joseph Stalin had a mind. They all had minds, and they were desperately wicked. Guess what? Some of the greatest atrocities on mankind were developed in somebody's mind. Why? They're deceitful. Imagine Adolf Hitler thinking that his race was more superior than the Jewish race and any other race. Talk about the height of hypocrisy. Talk about the height of being a bigot, that I could just wipe out a whole nation of people. Wow. My heart is dark. My heart's deceitful. I've got to get to that point where I start saying, you know what, God, that's me. And once I get to that point where I stop generalizing or start rationalizing and start personalizing and read this book, and when God says, thou shalt not lie, guess what? I got to say, Lord, I got to stop lying. When he says, thou shalt not covet, Lord, I got to stop coveting. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I got to stop thinking about that woman over there. When it says down there, honor thy father and thy mother, Lord, I need to obey my parents. You know, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Lord, I need to be in your house. I need to be in church. When the doors open, I need to be in your church. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Lord, I can't put anything else before you. I've got to seek first the kingdom of God. Lord, my heart's dark because if I have my way, I'll do everything else. Everything else comes first, and God, you'll come second, third, fourth, or fifth. So when I read this book, I've got to start personalizing and saying, Lord, you know, you're talking about me. Why? This is the recipe book on a sweetheart. Left to ourselves, our hearts are dark and they're deceitful.
Johnny Left to himself had this recipe, but it was all in his mind. It was all his thinking. And left to ourselves, to our thinking, to our minds, to our own hearts, guess what? We're in trouble. Johnny pulled off a bogus recipe because he saw somebody else do it. How many times do we do something because we saw another Christian do it? What, does that make it right? Just because we saw Christian A or Christian B do it? Oh, well, Daddy, they did it, and they said they're Christians. I can say I'm a car and go into a garage. Does that make me a Chevy? Hey, let's stick with the recipe book. Our hearts. Well, then we've got to do something. After we stop rationalizing about our hearts to God, about our heart's darkness and deceitfulness, start personalizing about our hearts to God and say, my heart's dark, my heart's deceitful, then I've got to do something. Now I've got to surrender analyzing of our hearts to God. You know what? If you analyze your own heart, you're not going to find a whole lot wrong with it. If somebody will say, well, preacher, how's your heart? I mean, it's pretty good. Pretty good. I didn't think, but, you know, two bad thoughts in the last 2 minutes. Amen. I'm pretty good. How many did you think all day? Well, compared to Johnny over there, I'm pretty good. Well, compared to Sally, I'm pretty good. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Little Johnny had to surrender to his mom's analyzing of his cookies because she knew how they should taste. When you and I have problems with our physical heart, we go to the doctor because the doctor understands how they should work. When we have problems with our spiritual heart, we go to Dr. Jesus because he knows how it works. He doesn't know how it should work. He knows how it does work. And he knows that it's dark and it's deceitful. And so if I would go to a heart specialist, why don't I go to a spiritual specialist named the Lord Jesus Christ? And the recipe and the prescription is right here. Right here. Amen. But I've got to personalize it. I've got to personalize it. When we have problems, we need to go to Dr. Jesus and ask him to search our hearts. Another thing Johnny noticed about his cookies is that not only were they salty, they tasted like fish. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like fishy cookies. Even the little fish crackers don't taste like fish. Amen. But Johnny found out, amazingly, that when he bit the cookie, just like mom, he did something tastefully wrong. It was salty and fishy. Again, he could not imagine why. However, after mom searched, she found that Johnny had used the pan from the tuna casserole from last night and did not wash it out. How much like us to try and do things, never asking God to search us and clean us, and we still go on about doing that same thing without cleaning the pan, without making the inside clean. We want to put something else in there. He says, hey, make it clean first, and then you can cook. Johnny didn't do that. How often do we try to do things never asking God to search us out? We often do things first and ask God second, like Johnny. And so instead of saying, Lord, analyze my heart. Lord, search my heart. God, see what's there. He should have said, what's on this pan? What is this? But Johnny is not experienced in his cooking. And so asking mom to search the pan to make sure it was a good pan would have been a good thing for him. So you and I, to have this recipe, we've got to stop rationalizing about our heart's problem. Start personalizing our heart's problem. Allow God to do the analyzing. And then we've got to do something else. We've got to start realizing about our hearts before God. Start realizing. Johnny found out a brilliant idea that he had. And like any young child, he thought this was a pretty good plan and that it would work. Johnny would take all the salt out of the cookies and then put in the sugar. But Johnny discovered he couldn't see the salt anymore. He could only taste it. It would take a miracle to get that salt out of those cookies. We're like Johnny at times. We can't see our sinful nature. But we can see it acted out in our life when we do things. When we don't do things, we see it acted out. And much like Johnny, we want to take that sinful nature. We want to pull it out. But we can't see it. And so we've got to start realizing before God that we can't help our heart. We can't help it. Oh, yes, we can keep it with all diligence. We can protect it. We cannot let things into it. But ultimately, because of these eyes and because of these ears and because of this mouth and because of this nose, things are going to come into this heart and it's going to taint it like the tuna casserole tainted the cookies and like the salt tainted the cookies. Furthermore, we can't take out any sinfulness from our lives. It will take a miracle. And that miracle, my friend, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to remove sin. That is the miracle called the gospel. Johnny could not do this miracle even if he wanted to. The salt was already embedded in the cookie. Sin is already embedded in your life and in my life. It's a nature that we're born with because of Adam and Eve back way back when. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Bible says all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And so the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your sinful heart and mine and the sins of the whole world is what we need. John 3:16 says that this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When it comes to our hearts, we must realize we can't clean our hearts. David said it this way in Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, David had it right. He said, you know what? I can't do it myself. Only God Almighty can do this. God created me this clean heart. I've gone away from you. I've sinned against you. I've done things I ought not to do. I killed a man. I had committed adultery. I've done some things that I should not have done. I've even concealed and tried to act like everything's okay when it wasn't okay. Why? I've got a dark heart. I got a deceitful heart. And God, after you began to get me away from generalizing about my life and rationalizing about my life, and I got to personalizing in my heart, I said, against thee and thee only have I done this wickedness. I recognize that. Why? Because God has analyzed my heart, and I realize there's nothing I can do except say God created me a clean heart. And I've got to do one other thing. Save the rectifying for God. You can't fix your heart. I can't fix my heart. Save the rectifying of our hearts for God. Mother applauded Johnny's efforts, but encouraged him to always follow the recipe book for the best results. She then sat down with him to follow the recipe she had, and they made the sweetest, yummiest cookies Johnny ever tasted. Like Johnny in the story, man, many want a sweetheart. However, many don't follow the recipe book from the one who made the heart sweet in the beginning, which was God. You see, we don't need to rehash our heart or try to restart our heart. We need a brand new heart. We need a heart from God. We need to be born from above. We need to be saved. We need to be cleansed. We need to be cleaned up by God, and we cannot rectify our own selves. The only thing that Mother could do with those cookies was to chuck them out to the dog, and he didn't even want them either. I remember my wife years ago, and I told y'all this story before. She cooked a mean cabbage casserole with ground beef in it. And, man, it was good. And she's got to making that thing, man. I tell you, everything was going well. But ironically, we started smelling cinnamon in the house. And we couldn't understand where cinnamon was coming from. Further investigation, my wife, instead of getting the ground cayenne red pepper, she got the cinnamon. Poured it all in that stew. And I said, it can't taste that bad. Let's sample it. And like Johnny's cookies, I could tell something went tastefully wrong. And to make my wife happy, we were still newlyweds at the time, I put a bunch of hot sauce on it and ate it anyway. Just to show her, honey, it's not that bad. As I turned my head, like, good thing I got this hot sauce here. Johnny did the same thing. You know what happened to that cinnamon? There was no way to get that cinnamon out. There's no way to get that salt out. The only thing to do is to start over again. And she made it again, and it tastes pretty good. Genesis 1:31 said, all God made was very good in the beginning in Genesis. But then by the time you come to chapter 3, man had sinned and his heart was darkened. He became deceitful. From that moment on, they even tried to hide from God. And God came to call them into question. And God called Adam. And Adam, what have you done? He said, that woman whom thou gavest to be with me. He asked the woman. He said, what are you? She said, the serpent beguiled me and I ate. Went to the serpent and meted out the judgment on him and meted out the judgment on Eve and meted out the judgment on Adam. And from that point on, folks, you and I have had bad hearts. But we have the recipe book called the Bible on how to get a clean heart. David said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Say, preacher, what do we need to do? First of all, stop rationalizing about your sin. Just admit to God your heart's dark. Admit that it's deceitful. Just admit it. Start personalizing our sin. Own up to it. Say, Lord, I'm an adulterer in my mind. I've looked at some pornography in my mind on my computer. Lord, I lied over here. Lord, I did not remember your Sabbath day to keep it holy, even though we don't worship on the Sabbath. I was not in church on Sunday. I did not come to Sunday school. I did not come Sunday night. I did not come on Wednesday. I did not read my Bible. I did not pray. Lord, I did not do what I ought to do. I did not love. I did not forgive. God, I'm owning up. I'm confessing. Because, see, we don't do that. We think we're pretty good. You know what? We ought to walk around like this all day. God, I'm no good without you. God, I'm nothing without you. My heart is so deceitful, I'll believe it myself. Amen. I will too. Why? Your heart's that convincing. Your heart is that strong and that powerful. I saw the next sequel to The Board. I told you guys about that. And the next one was called The War Within. And again, the star of the story was Hart. And after Hart got saved and went on for God, his child died. And after his child died, he got fired from his job. And not only that, his marriage was on the rocks because his wife blamed him for the child's death and he blamed the wife for the child's death. And so Hart then had a dilemma. I've got no job. I've got no child. I'm about not to have a wife. And Hart convinced himself that we didn't have this problem till we got God. We didn't have this problem till we got saved. We didn't have any of this until I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Then all this stuff started in my life. Everything went wrong. Then I lost my job. Then I lost my daughter. Now I'm about to lose my wife. Everything when I got saved. So let's just go away from God. Maybe life will get better. Let me tell you, if you divorce yourself from God, you are in trouble. Say, preacher, did he lose his salvation? Can you lose that which is eternal? Then he didn't lose his salvation. But he lost his joy. He lost his peace. He lost his passion. He lost his power. He was just existing in the shell of a man. What did it take? It took a godly Christian to come to you and say, man, you have deceived yourself. Hey, man, that's foolish. Hey, man, what does God say? Hey, man, did God promise you a smooth life? God promised you no such thing. Hey, man, you need to get right with God. You need to revisit your life. You need to get back in the Word of God. Hey, a friend will do that. A friend will do that. But guess what? Heart was convinced, but mind was already involved now. Emotion was already involved now. Memory was already involved now, and they had already seared conscience, and he couldn't speak. If you remember the movie, those were all the characters. Conscience could not give a witness. Memory failed. Mind failed. They were all captives to will. And then mind began to take over and said, let's rationalize this whole thing. Say, preacher, what happened? You got to watch the movie. What am I saying? Your heart and my heart are deceitful. We've got to stop rationalizing. Start personalizing. Allow God's analyzing of our sin. Start realizing we can't do it by ourselves. We can do nothing about our sin. Allow God to start rectifying our sin in our hearts. Repent, turn to God, ask him to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from sin for Jesus' sake, who died, was buried, and rose again for our sins. Rectifying starts with realizing that we can't do it, but it continues with requesting of God. God, my heart's dark. It's deceitful. I've rationalized long enough. But when I start getting in this book and personalizing this thing, Lord, I'm guilty before you. I am just guilty. Lord, I surrender to your analyzing. Analyze it. I realize there's nothing I can do. And Lord, I can't even rectify it. I can't change my heart. You know, I've not met a surgeon yet, as good of a heart surgeon that he is, that could do surgery on his own heart. I've not met one yet. Maybe you have. But I've not met one surgeon. I don't care if they're the best in the world. They cannot do surgery on their own hearts. You and I cannot do surgery on our own hearts. We've got to request God to do the surgery. Hey, what am I saying? A sweet heart comes from a sweet God who loves us, who does not want us with a sour heart. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Romans 10:9 says it this way, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Philip said it this way, if thou believest with all thine heart. Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that it might not sin against thee. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want a sweetheart today. Say, preacher, how am I going to get that sweetheart? Stop rationalizing about our sinful heart. Start personalizing our sinful heart. Allow God's analyzing of our sinful heart. Start realizing we can do nothing about our sinful heart. Allow God to do the rectifying of our sinful heart. Say, God, you've got to do the work in my heart. I can't do it myself. Proverbs 3:5 says this way, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I don't know about you, but you know what? I don't want to continually walk around with a dirty heart. You know how Johnny got in this big problem from the beginning? Johnny wanted to do something good, but he didn't follow something good. Johnny went from what he knew. And my friend, you know what's going to get you and I in trouble? We all want to do something good. But if you don't follow that which is good, that which is right, we're not going to do good. We've got to follow this book. We've got to follow this word. Jesus has left the instructions for you and I that we can be right with God every day. Now, the Bible says so many different things about the heart. But these are some basic things that you and I have got to get under our belts. So we're going to have a sweetheart and maintain a sweetheart. Why? It's going to cause daily cleansing from this book. The Bible still says we confess our sins. He's faithful and just. Cleanse us of our sins, and he's going to remove all the unrighteousness. But we've got to have this book. The Bible still says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. But see, if you don't have this book, you're not going to do that. This book still says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You and I will be deceived by our own hearts. I don't know where you're at today, but I trust that you would say, God, I want a sweetheart. But we have to recognize something, just like Johnny recognized. I need an outside source to tell me where I went wrong. We need God's word to tell us where we went wrong. Maybe today your heart's not as sweet as it needs to be. Maybe you're watching programs you ought not watch on TV. Maybe you're listening to music you ought not listen to. Maybe you're saying some things that you ought not say. Maybe you're being a certain way to your spouse that you ought not be. Maybe you're being a certain way to your parent that you ought not be. Maybe you're looking at the commands of God and you say, Lord, I've kept half of your commands. What about the other half? Lord, I'm doing the best I can. Well, he didn't ask you to do the best you can. He said, trust him. Doing the best you can won't get you to heaven. David had the answer, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. That is the answer. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, he wants to save you. Say, preacher, what if I don't get saved? Well, the end is a place called hell where God never intended for any of us to go because he's made a sacrifice for us, Jesus Christ, the righteous. His death, his burial, and his resurrection will get you and I to heaven. And it will get you a clean heart. You've got to say, Lord, I believe in my heart. Please save me. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, wipe the slate clean. Only you can rectify this. Only you can do this. And the Bible says this about David. Even after his sin, he was a man after God's own heart. This is from a murderer. This is an adulterer. This is a deceiver. And the Bible says he's a man after my own heart. You know why? Because David stopped rationalizing his sin. David started personalizing. He said, against thee and thee only have I done this wickedness. David allowed some analyzing. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. David had some realizing, I can't do it myself. And then David had allowed God to rectify and create that clean heart in him. And my friend, that's how you get saved, and that's how you stay clean after you are saved. You want to leave here today with a clean heart? Do what David did. Go to God, humble, ask him to clean your heart up, ask him to forgive you of your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection was for you, and it was for me. And take him up at the cross. I guarantee you, you'll leave rejoicing that your sins are forgiven with a sweet heart. What had to happen with Johnny? Mother had to help him do it the right way. God's got to do it the right way. You and I got to follow the word of God the right way. Don't let it be said about you, Lord, Lord, have I not? And he say to you, I never knew you. Most devastating words that you could ever hear. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Johnny started off with good intentions. Johnny wanted to be a blessing to his mom, sweetheart. But Johnny didn't follow the recipe book. I wonder today how many have followed the recipe book. My friend, may I add to this that joining a church does not make you saved. Getting baptized does not make you saved. Keeping the Ten Commandments does not make you saved. Giving money to the church does not make you saved. Speaking in tongues does not make you saved. Say, preacher, what makes me saved? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But you've got to believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many would say, preacher, you know, if I died today, I'm not sure that heaven is my home, but I am concerned about it. Would you please pray for me? I won't call you out. I won't pick you out. I just want to pray for you right where you're sitting. You say, preacher, I want a sweetheart today. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you please pray for me? All across this room, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You'd raise your hand, slip it up where I can see it. I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Amen. I see that one. You may put it down. Is there another? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. I'm not sure I'm saved today. I want to be, but I'm not sure. Would you pray for me, preacher? Man, woman, boy, or girl? You'd slip that hand right up. Just want to pray for you real quick, wherever you're at. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. Christian, how about you then? You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. But I've got to keep a clean heart. I'm good at rationalizing my sins away. I'm good at not personalizing. I'm good at not allowing God to analyze me, analyze it myself. I'm good at realizing that, you know, I can do this myself, I think. And I'm very good at thinking I can rectify this situation all on my own. And I'm deceived by a darkened heart. Preacher, pray for me that I cannot do that anymore. You'd raise that hand. Amen. If the truth be known, all of our hands really should go up. Amen. Amen. You may put them down. Father, you see the hands that have been raised, Lord. All of us at some time have vain imaginations and our foolish hearts are darkened from time to time. And God, we need you to come in and to rectify in us a clean heart. Lord, we've got to realize we can't do anything about it. It's going to be you and you alone that's going to have to do this. Just like a surgeon can't fix his own heart, Lord, we can't fix our own hearts. It's got to be you. Lord, I pray for these that have raised their hands saying, I'm not sure what my situation is as far as being saved. Lord, I pray that you'd work in that heart of that man, woman, boy, or girl and help them to get the assurance that you have saved them and you're their Savior. Lord, I pray for these that have raised their hands saying, my heart is darkened at times. It is foolish at times. Help these people, Lord. Help me, that we might always be upfront with you, that our hearts aren't as always the sweetest as they need to be. And Lord, when they're not, confront us with the word of God. Confront us by the Spirit of God, that we can humbly ask you, Lord, to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us so that we can go forth and go on now in good fellowship and in peace with you. Well, it doesn't mean that we're not saved. It just means that our hearts are dirty. And we've got to get you to clean it up by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. And so, Lord, help us today recognize where we're at when it comes to a sweetheart. And then leave here today with a sweetheart. Help us to do business with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. As Mrs. Dawson sings, God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to move. Don't wait for someone else. Don't look at someone else. You think about your own heart. And you come as the music begins. You come. You say, Lord, you know, I've generalized too long about my heart. I've rationalized too long about my heart. Lord, I've got to start personalizing this heart. I've got to take responsibility for myself. Recipe for a sweetheart. Stop personalizing about a heart. Stop rationalizing about our hearts. Lord, you know, I don't think I'm that bad. But we're not that good either. My heart's deceitful. It's dark. Surrender analyzing of our hearts to God. Say, God, search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. Realize we can't do it. We've got to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Say the rectifying of our hearts for God. How about it today? Where are you at? Sweetheart. Sweetheart for God. God is looking down on you right now. Can he truly say you've got a sweetheart today? If God can't confirm that you have a sweetheart, maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Do you have a sweetheart today? Would God agree? Or are you rationalizing? Have you been personalizing? Have you allowed God to start analyzing? And have you realized you can't do anything about it? Unless God rectifies it. Where are you at today? Say, preacher, you know, I've got to get some things right. But let's get it right. Folks, this is Valentine's Day, one of the days that speak all about sweethearts and being sweet. A recipe for a sweetheart for God. How about it? I don't know about you, but I've been fooled and bamboozled by my heart on many occasions. Many occasions. Why? My heart's dark. Why? My heart's deceitful. But you know what? I've learned to say, Lord, my heart is dark. My heart is deceitful. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. How about it, Christian? You raise your hand saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. Maybe you want to get that thing settled today. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. Maybe your heart's not where it needs to be. Not as sweet as it needs to be. The heart still is deceitful above all things. Still desperately wicked. We can't know it. Maybe you need to be saved today. Would you come? Would you come? Maybe you need to be surrendering for baptism. There's baptism coming up on the 28th of this month. Maybe you need to come and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized. I need to surrender for that. I surrender all. Let Mrs. Dawson sing one more stanza. A sweetheart for God.
I surrender all to him.
All to him I freely
give.
I will ever love and trust him.
And trust him.
In his presence, daily live. Daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all.
I surrender all. All to be my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Father, thank you once again for being a gracious God to us. Lord, thank you that you've given us a description in our hearts, that once the heart has been cleansed and cleansed by you, Almighty God, then we need to keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Once you created that clean heart in us, Lord, we need to protect it. We need to guard it against things that we ought not see, things we ought not hear, places we ought not go, and, oh Lord, things that we ought not be a part of. Lord, help us to keep it clean by cleansing it by the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, which so fully and thoroughly cleanses us with all the blood that's been shed for our sins. Lord, thank you so much that the Bible is clear. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Lord, you said that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every and all good works. God, help us to take this recipe book called the Bible, the Word of God, which you've given to us, and maintain a sweet heart. Lord, when we get off course, Lord, help us not to rationalize about it, but personalize. Yes, it's me. It's my heart. It's my darkness. Lord, help us to allow you to analyze it. Lord, help us to realize we can't do anything about it, but allow you to rectify and create the clean heart in us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this sweetheart today. Lord, help us to enjoy the remainder of this day and to treat our sweetheart special and right. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying. Lord, don't let anyone leave today without having a sweetheart in this congregation. If it's a bitterness, forgiveness, covetousness, whatever it is, help them to lay that at the feet of Jesus Christ and get that forgiveness that only you can give. Thank you for meeting with us. Pastor White, if you'd come and dismiss us with a